Welcome to That American Football Show, powered by EP Sports. EP Sports is the top supplier in the UK for all your American football needs, helping players and coaches reach their potential since 2007. Check them out at epsports.co.uk. I'm here with Joe, Tim and Craig as usual, and we have a special guest on today. You might remember Cadell King from our Tafts Meet series last year, but he's been competing around the world and he's back to talk about some football. Cadell, how you been?
I've been good. Thank you guys for having me.
Our pleasure. Absolutely love talking some football with you. So the focus of this episode is to talk a little bit about the new European League that's coming out. They're called the European League of Football, which has the lovely acronym of ELF. Tim, you're now our assigned resident genius on this. Do you want to give us some background on them?
I do. So it's a new professional league based in Europe. There's 8 teams at the moment, and the league is not part of the NFL, but they have an agreement to use the old NFL Europe names on an individual basis. So they haven't completely bought out all the rights to everything NFL Europe related, but some of the teams have got NFL Europe names. And it's due to kick off this year in June. So the teams are the Cologne Centurions, who were an old NFL Europe team name, Berlin Thunder, again, old NFL Europe, Hamburg Sea Devils, old NFL Europe, Frankfurt Galaxy, which I think were one of the original NFL Europe teams, a new team, the Leipzig Kings, the old Barcelona Dragons, Stuttgart Scorpions, and Wroclaw Panthers.
So, I mean, the person with the most experience by any of these is going to be you, Cadell. Do you want to kind of let us know what you think about the new league and your expectations for the teams and stuff?
I think the new league is a dope experience that Europe's going to have. Having a pro league in Europe, there can never be anything bad about that. I think the teams are a great selection. Obviously, there's more teams in Europe than Germany at the moment, mainly because Germany is the best football in Europe at the moment. They have, again, one of the best teams in Europe in Panthers, who have dominated Poland for a number of years. And they're bringing together Barcelona, who are basically going to be a national team. And they're going to be the best from Spain, and they're going to be ready to compete. So it's going to be exciting to see how they do this season.
And where would you want to see the league expand to? Because I've seen on a journal before that they ideally want to kind of push out to about 20 teams. But obviously, all over Europe, there's going to be some locations that kind of jump to mind, like London, like the Scandinavian countries, stuff like that. Where would you like? Is there any specific teams you want to start seeing participate?
Oh yeah, I think the team that we're all trying to see is London Monarchs come back. That's one of the most historical NFL Europe teams, and with all the athletes that are in the UK, I think it would be a perfect situation for us. I think seeing teams in France, Milan, and maybe a Scandinavian team, so probably in Finland or Sweden, would be a great addition to the league. I know that I read an article that they want to add at least 5 or 6 new teams by 2022. So it'll be interesting to see if they want to bring back a London team or even a Finnish team.
And I mean, I guess that the hardest part of this entire kind of idea is that there's been so many different leagues that have started in Europe or in England or wherever, and they just don't get that kind of either the funding behind it or the enough like people behind it loving it. Obviously, there's like Frankfurt and Berlin are very well recognized for having them, but there is like, what do you think? That it just needs to be good luck, or do you think that this is going to be the one that is the one to succeed following the NFL Europe?
I think that this one's is different because of who is running it. So again, they have Patrick Esme, who was part of NFL Europe. A lot of the people who are on the board are part of NFL Europe. They already signed TV deals to TV One Sports in Germany. And with the NFL partnership, it looked like it's going strong because you don't just sign an NFL partnership out of the blue, you know. So I think the leadership that's involved and the team that they're getting, so getting teams like Frankfurt involved, getting teams like Hamburg, involves Hamburg. I know have mixed two teams together, Emshaw Pirates and Hamburg Huskies, and even the team like Panthers, who have already been their own organization, so they had to change their names. Getting a team like that, it speaks volumes, you know, because I know from playing in GFL, a lot of GFL teams were annoyed with the way the GFL were approaching things, and they wouldn't change. So I think this is like a step in the right direction. And for me, they're doing everything right. They're taking every box that I've asked. TV deal, yes. Partnership deals, yes. Do you have the right people in charge? Yes. They all have history with successful NFL football leagues in Europe. And yeah, I think the structure of right now is perfect for, and the opportunity right now is perfect, because you get more athletes doing the NFL pathway program, the CFL combine in Europe. And now this is going to be a league where ex-NFL players and ex-CFL players will go come to try and get back into the league.
So I think everything you said there, totally agree with it. I think one of the main differences is going to be, it's going to be built on local players. Mm-hmm. Whereas the old NFL Europe used to be all people from the bottom end of NFL rosters who were hoping to make it onto an NFL roster came over, and they just saw it as basically a tryout. And there were some good British players got into like the Scottish Claymores, the London Monarchs, but they were seen as a bit of a, we'll put them in as a sideshow almost, not building local talent. That wasn't the aim, as far as I could see, from NFL Europe. I think the second point you made there about GFL not being very happy about it and people not being annoyed, they released a statement basically saying, based on experience we've gained in our sport over many years in Germany and Europe, we're sceptical in the short and medium term about the financial viability of a pure professional football league. In the meantime, GFL sees EFL as a competitor for players, sponsors, fans and venues. But as you said, they've built it from the ground up. They haven't gone, we're starting this new league, anyone want to sponsor us? Anyone? They've got all that in place, and it's people that have run leagues before, so they've got everything in place before they started announcing that they're going to be, and there's no flash signings. They've not signed over the hill. They're not like brought Brett Favre out of retirement and throwing all the money at him. They're actually doing the right thing by the sounds of it.
Yeah. So a lot of the guys I've seen them sign. So they signed Tiggy Sanko, Chris Azaria, Anthony Double, Anthony Mahungu, European guys who've gone out to the NFL and they're back in Europe. No, those guys wouldn't have played in the GFL. You know, so you're giving them an opportunity to get the exposure that they need and that they want in a professional setting. It's not, for me, I don't think it's so much a straight professional league, because to be straight professional, you have to pay every single person a certain amount. But it's a step in the right direction for now. You know, everyone's making out. So I've seen a lot of guys comment saying that you can't pay everyone all the 54 guys in the roster a personal salary. But from what I know, that not everyone's getting paid on the team. Some people are getting paid professional salaries. Other people are getting paid half job. So a half job in Germany is like 500 euros. It's like a half job, a side job. And then there's some guys who are just on the team for free. So the everything that they're doing right now for me is can compete with the GFL. They're probably spending less money than the GFL than I see right now. So
you mentioned the TV one thing. I mean, I've never been to Germany, so I don't know how about it. But is that like the free TV service, or is that a paid one?
Oh, it's a free TV service. Like BBC One.
Yeah, that's going to really help. That's cool. On terrestrial telly.
Mm, yeah. Again, you get any sort of American football on national TV. I remember, I think the Brit Bowl was on national TV once on BBC.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And regardless of what anyone thinks about that helped grow the sport. You know, so you get their games be posted on TV. People are going to be watching it and reaching out to try and play in that sport. You see around Europe, there's a lot of youth now who are getting out to the States, getting out to D1s. You're giving them another pathway to go, you know? So, yeah, it all looks dope right now for me.
And I was going to say, I think the NFL finally realized, and it is a bad thing for people that live in Britain, but Germany's got a huge potential for an NFL market. Because obviously, if you look at it, what's that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, six of those teams are in Germany. They're talking about sending NFL games into Germany as well. And I don't know why they haven't done it before, because every game I've been to in London, there's always hundreds of Germans.
Yes.
And it's about time they got a fair crack of the whip, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Football in Germany is completely different from like football in the UK. So the funding to the talent to how they groom their players. So yeah, Germany, even though there's a lot of teams in Germany, I know a lot of people are skeptical about it. That's the only place in Europe you can have that many teams and still have a fighting chance, you know. You couldn't have five teams in the UK. It just wouldn't be as competitive, even in France. But Germany, that the amount of D1 players they've had already, ex-NFL pathway program players they have already, I think they have 13 or 14 guys participating in the CFL Combine from Germany. So from all of that, they have the talent, they have the resources to be able to still compete and be competitive in this, in a league like this.
Yeah, and then Tim just mentioned then like the actual travel aspect of it. I think what may be slightly underrated about having a European league is that, especially if it does branch out to especially the UK, of any countries, you're going to start having fans wanting to travel abroad to go to stadiums. Tim just touched on it then as well with the shake-up of the international games. Not sure if you know this yet, Cadell, but because they've expanded it to 17 games in the NFL now, they've cancelled the Wembley games. So now there's only going to be two games at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, but they're also doing two other international games. And I think Munich is the one they're looking at having one of them. And I think the fourth one is probably going to be like Canada or Mexico.
It was Mexico. There was two at Twickenham, one in Munich, one in Mexico. But then there is talks with the Jags to still do two Wembley games, so we could still have four in London.
When I was talking to people about that, they were saying, like, imagine how nuts it's going to be if you've got NFL fans going over to, like, imagine like a Steelers game in Germany. I just feel like that would be such a crazy game that should itself will expand more fan bases in the elf.
Yeah. So even having NFL games, because there's so many NFL athletes in the league already that signed, the NFL are keeping an eye on the league, because I know for a fact that there's certain guys who are turning down different opportunities to play in this league just to showcase their talent from NFL scouts. When I was speaking to CFL teams, they all asked me about this new league. So it's not like this that no one's paying attention to the league outside of Europe. So I wouldn't be surprised if they have games on the same weekend as ELF games, if that makes sense. So ELF play on the Saturday and the NFL Munich games on the Sunday. That'd be a great weekend for European football.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. I thought the whole point of it was that because it's kicking off in June, July, that it's essentially going to be an off-season viewership because it's not going to have to compete with the NFL then.
True. Yeah. But that is true.
Think about it. If it starts in June, it depends how the season runs. It could still, the playoffs could
be. The playoffs will probably be.
Yeah, I think the playoffs is meant to be in around the end of September, actually.
Yeah, so that should work.
Yeah. Imagine what a great marketing opportunity this would be. And EFL, if you're listening to me, this is my idea, so I get a cut of this, right? So what you do is you have your first ever NFL game in Germany on the Sunday. You have the final of the EFL on the Saturday. Genius.
That would be big, yeah.
Sell out the Allianz Arena. It'd be massive.
Full weekend of football.
Yeah. Actually, I'd fly to Germany to go watch a game.
I'd be dead by the Monday. Yeah. I'd be like, die of alcohol poisoning in some street in Munich, but I'd die happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Munich's a great place. You'd be happy to die there, trust me.
Yeah. You guys been to Munich before?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was a great time, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The Steins, just like drinking Steins is... That's what it's all about down there. No, lovely people as well, genuinely, like so friendly.
Great
everyone
people,
down there is and it's so clean.
Well, you said Steins there. I think they're planning on having the German game during Oktoberfest as well.
Oh, that's cold.
That would be crazy. Yeah, that would be crazy.
I went to Germany by mistake once on holiday.
Mistake?
Yeah, I was supposed to be going to Austria. I was in Austria. My dad was driving. He was looking for this town. He followed the map. And it was actually the wrong... There was a town in Austria with the same name. We ended up on the German border. Mom was going, where? What are we doing here?
It's a European problem, all ended in the wrong country.
Yeah. You know what I've always been thinking about is that there's such a gap between different leagues. So there's a gap between the NFL, the CFL, the X League, and then like the fall off in the X League to the GFL is so big. So do you guys remember when was it Football America? They put out top 50 or top 300 list of teams outside America and Canada, and I think the top 50, only three of them weren't in either Mexico or Japan. So like I think this league is the perfect way to slot in European talent, because it's not like you don't have either better athletes or similar athletes to these guys. It's just the team structure and the league structure that limits us. So yeah, this would be a dope idea to expand European football and like get over that hump, because not to talk bad about the GFL, but the GFL has always been, has camp always limited players in a way. So you go to practices, there'll be 22 people there. Game day, there's like a full roster, you know? So this professional league, speaking to my friends, I know that you have to be at practices to be able to play. And there's certain requirements that weren't in the GFL. You know, there's certain thresholds every team had to meet to be able to be competitive. So I'm hoping to see the next top 300 list and more European teams in the top 50, top 20.
It's an exciting time. I think my main concern at the moment is with everything that's going on in terms of the pandemic, travel is quite difficult. And if people can't get down to see the games, if they don't, you said before they've got to sign a TV deal with a local German network. If they can expand that out to more other European countries at the moment, because people can't travel to watch the games, I think that could be an avenue that could really help them. Because it's the main thing that concerns me about this league at the moment is people can't. It'd be difficult to get down and physically watch it with all the restrictions and stuff in place.
That's gonna be one thing I keep my eye on, because going to Finland, Poland, and Spain, fans weren't allowed to the game. So that's one thing I want to see how they deal with it, because a lot of the revenue comes from like ticket sales, you know? So that's one hurdle I think they need to get over, but I'm excited to see how they deal with it. The TV deal definitely helps, because in Finland they have Ruutu, which is a similar thing, it's an online streaming service. And that's where they were getting a lot of their money to be able to continue the season without fans. So I want to see they take the blueprint from Finland, because the blueprint has been in Europe to still play football in the pandemic. I know that the UK and Germany didn't play last year, but Sweden played, Finland played, Austria played, a lot of countries played. So the blueprint to play without fans is in Europe already. So
yeah,
it's not like they have to build up a new blueprint. They just can copy what's already been done from the last years.
Yeah, something I was curious about as well is, you know, we talk about fans going, like what sort of capacity crowds are they expecting, without restrictions or anything? Is it going to be a couple thousand, more than that, less than that? I'm not too sure. I have no clue. Just curious to see how many people would be there.
Yeah, I mean, I have no idea either. But I do know in Finland, I played up there, and in Spain, they would be allowed a certain percentage of like capacity. So in Finland it was I think 50%. In Spain it was like a quarter. So it will be enough to keep them going, but it won't be a crazy crowd.
Yeah,
and it's, of course, it's going to be in June, July, so hopefully when everyone start, I mean, some countries are starting to get a handle on the pandemic, but see how it all turns out, I guess.
It's crazy because
You go.
Oh, no, you can go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to bring up something completely different, so if yours is on topic, it's better.
No, it was just about something completely different, so it's all good.
Well, I was just going to say, because we know you're a 49ers fan, how is it you feel about the little trade that you've made?
Excited and scared at the same time.
You're not excited. John Lynch is your general manager, isn't he?
Yeah. excited because it's an opportunity to get a great quarterback in Justin Fields. Scared because it can go either way. You never know who whose card they're going to call in the day, you know.
What's your worst nightmare pick at third?
Mac Jones. Mac Jones. I think he's a great quarterback, but if you have a quarterback like Justin Fields available at third and you don't take him, that's going to be... If it goes wrong, there's going to be so many questions that you can answer because we just gave away like so many first-round picks. So we won't be able to recover that way for a couple of years. You know, I feel like if you gave that many picks away, go for the safest pick you can. You know, don't try and be super or like super technical about it, saying, okay, cool, we found a hidden gem. For first round pick, go for the safest pick you can. Because yeah, even
the logic from the talking heads that I've heard is, well, Kyle Shanahan can turn any quarterback into a genius. He's just that good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so first, Jimmy Garoppolo. Second, exactly. That's great. If he can do that, brilliant. But get the best quarterback. It's not competition if you can turn a shit quarterback into a good one.
Exactly.
Mac Jones, I think Mac Jones noise, he's had two pro days now. His second pro day, it wasn't as good. And people were saying, let's all calm down a bit. Because he made some good throws in his first pro day, which I was watching. But then as soon as the video went on of his two throws, he threw across the body straight down the field. Everyone was like, well, here's about 20 other quarterbacks that did that in game situations. It's easy to throw a ball when there's no one else chasing you down and you're just standing there with your wide receiver down the field. Yeah. I don't understand the Mac Jones hype.
Me neither, man. Hopefully we do get Justin Fields because I think he's going to be a generation of talent. You know, maybe not a Patrick Mahomes, but he's definitely going to be, in a couple of years in the NFL, he's going to be up there. And I don't want to be in a situation where we're kicking ourselves in the butt saying we had the third overall pick and we skipped him to prove a point to the NFL, you know. So
would you take Justin Fields over Trevor Lawrence?
That's a hard one. Yes. I feel Trevor Lawrence is a great quarterback, but Justin Fields has that it factor about him for me personally.
Do you think you need to lose games to be a better player? Because I know Trevor Lawrence has got some crazy stat, like he's lost two games since high school.
Yeah. Two or three, yeah. You definitely have to lose games. That's the only way you can learn. And he hasn't lost games before. He's about to go into the NFL. And if you're a first overall pick, you're going to lose games. You know, you're the first overall pick because your team last year wasn't the best team. So you're going to lose games. And I want to see how he bounces back from a loss. We haven't seen that before. We've seen him around crazy talent, you know, but he's been, every team he's played, he's been better than them, you know. So I want to see how he can handle losing and coming back. Because he's going to get beat up in the NFL. The NFL is different speed. You're playing with grown men now, you know. The responsibilities, everything is different. And a lot of quarterbacks can't handle that at the next level. So I want to see how, I don't know how he'll handle that, plus the possibility of being able to start losing games, having to come back from 21-0 down. You know, you throw a fade that worked in college and high school, but now you're playing the best cornerback in the NFL who's picking it up every time.
Yeah.
You have to – it's a completely different game in the NFL. So my only question mark with him is how he bounces back from losing games, you know. So for me and 49ers – we don't need a quarterback right now who is a question mark.
Yeah.
The least question marks we can get, the better, you know. We don't need a crazy quarterback because Kyle Shanahan's offense works. We need someone who can do what we asked him to do and more, you know. Jimmy Garoppolo did everything we asked him to do. He wasn't like the best quarterback in the league, but he took us to the Super Bowl. He did what we asked him to do, but he just couldn't take us over that hump in the Super Bowl. So we need someone who can take us over that hump, and I think Justin Fields is that guy.
Do you feel like the 49ers have got a good shot of making it to the playoffs? and to the Super Bowl this coming season? Because I think last season I tipped them to go quite high.
Yeah.
The injury problem sort of became quite substantial in the end, and they racked up quite a long list. I think they were quite unfortunate. How do you think they look coming into next season? Do you think they can get back to the way from when they did the Super Bowl run?
So a lot of the players from the Super Bowl run have returned for like another year with us. So the same group of guys coming back with another year under their belt. I think we have a good shot. I remember a lot of times I said we're going to go to Super Bowl unless we have injuries. So I'm going to say it again. I think we have a Super Bowl caliber team, but it's just the injuries. You know, even when we were injured, we were still putting up a fight. We were in the hardest division. If we were in the NFC West with the Eagles, with the Eagles, yeah, we would have been in the playoffs, you know, so...
Oh, yeah. I think most teams could be in that.
Most teams would. Yeah. So, if we get the right quarterback and, you know, the football guys bless us with no injuries, definitely be in the Super Bowl.
And you'll be one of the most exciting teams as well, especially if you go get Fields. So I think that's the important thing.
Yeah.
Like, as you say, you're a good, solid team. But if you have that, like, X-factor, exciting player in the most important position, like,
exactly.
You're going to be wanted to be put on prime time all the time.
I mean, three first rounders, you better bloody hope so.
Oh, I hope so, yeah. That's going to hurt us.
Justin Fields, all his college career, he's been considered a really good quarterback, and he's shown it on the games, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mac Jones has always been, he's all right. And now all of a sudden, in the last week, it's like, he's
the number
three pick in the draft. He's the second best threat. No, he's not.
No, yeah, I don't know where that came from, but I hope that our board doesn't listen to all the hype. And we watch film and realize, okay, this guy can take us to the Super Bowl.
You know where the hype comes from. It's his agent. You need to look up who his agent is and see him.
Shameless plug, shout out to Inns Football and Chris.
Draft is crazy because literally there's so much smoke screening about, like, all it talks about is there's going to be 10 quarterbacks going in the first 5 picks. And, like, I think it was J.C. Horn, the Virginia cornerback, who said something like, it doesn't matter where I get drafted, because at the end of the day, it's like where you get drafted, it's purely based off speculation. It's all about how you play for wherever you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This year, the crazy thing about this year is that there's so much talent, but everyone's focusing on the quarterback. I remember I saw, was it yesterday, the tight end from Florida?
Oh, Kyle Pitts.
Yeah. Oh, he is going to be crazy. He's going to be crazy. And you won't hear, and until yesterday, you won't hear too much about him, you know? So there's so much plays in the draft this year. Just get the right quarterback and then just focus on the rest of the players, because there's going to be so many hidden gems this year in the draft.
Do you think it's a case of draft for need or draft best player available? What do you think is the best tactic?
It depends on your situation. So, for example, like if you're a 49, if I'm a 49er GM and we're the third pick, we need a quarterback. That's been our biggest hindrance for the last couple of years. That's what's going to take us over the hump. But if you're a team like Kansas City Chiefs, your team's solid all around. You know, draft the best player to help add to your team. So it depends on the team situation. If you have a decent quarterback, you want to get a quarterback, but then you have the best tight end, who I think the best prospect in the draft, take him, because he's going to change your offense. You can get a better quarterback in free agency or whatever, but so it depends on the needs, really. 49ers, definitely get a quarterback. Other teams, you guys can afford to get the best player in the draft. He'll just add to your team.
So in that case, because I think...
You're assuming that... Sorry.
Go on, you go, Tim.
You're assuming that the GMs know what they're doing, though. So if you look at the Raiders drafts of the last few years, I nearly broke my television. I'm not going to swear again, but I nearly kicked my television when we drafted the third best wide receiver with the... Anyway, yeah, so... There's no logic to the draft. That's what makes it so exciting. You're like, it's just, it's such a, sometimes I think I prefer it to the games watching the draft, but I always end up waking up in the morning going, that's just ridiculous. What have we done?
Yeah.
Because I've, if you're in the 49ers situation, which is a bit easier, I think we've got, you know what your hole is, you know what you're picking. I think a really interesting team is the Bengals because they've got a pick. Penny Sewell, who's just like this once in a lifetime tackle that everyone's talking about. Or do you go and get Ja'Marr Chase, who's not only your quarterback's best mate, but he's also the best wide receiver in the draft. Like, I do not want to be the GM of the Bengals right now.
Yeah, that's going to be a sticky one.
Touching on that, we're doing at the moment, it's a good time to mention, we're doing a draft poll at the moment. So what we're doing is each pick, we're doing a poll, two a day, and talking about the Bengals pick, 71% of the people who voted for the Bengals pick actually picked Penny Sewell.
There we go.
Ja'Marr Chase was second. He got 21.1% of the votes.
I'm just looking here for the 49ers. 56.3% of people went for Justin Fields.
There we go. We have to come. It's common sense.
Second best pick was Trey Lance, 29.7, which I quite like Trey Lance. He doesn't have a lot of game experience. Obviously, he played for the same school as Carson Wentz did, North Dakota State.
Yeah,
but he's got talent, definitely. More than Mac Jones.
Yeah. And of course, they always bring out good quarterbacks and good prospects, so I won't be surprised by that. You know, just don't draft the number third.
I've got an interesting one for you, Cadell, because obviously, from the defensive point of view, and the Eagles are now in a position after trading down to 12, where we might be able to kind of snatch Micah Parsons. I've had my eye on him for ages and I've always liked him. But recently you've seen his name kind of going from the fifth overall all the way down to dropping down late in the first.
Yeah.
If you've watched any of his tape or anything, what do you think on him?
Oh, I love this guy. So one of my friends actually is a linebacker up at Penn State.
No way.
So I've been following, they both came in together, Jesse and Lukaku. They both came in the same class, so I was always paying attention to who was playing alongside him. And he can do everything you ask him to. You know, that's like, he's a very solid pick. I think not playing the last season because of COVID really hurt him, but not hurt him enough to get drafted. But with the hype or no hype, he's still a first round draft pick. If he falls to the number two, might be the biggest deal in the draft. I'm a huge fan of him. So,
one of the knocks on him is character issues. So, I did a bit of digging on that a couple of days ago to find out what exactly it was about him. And all you can find, if you look it up, what's wrong with Micah Parsons? He was involved. There was one court case about a hazing incident in the uni where I think he was mentioned. And that's it. And from that, this whole narrative that, he's got character issues, don't draft him. GMs and NFL teams are putting a lot of money into these picks. They surely must do more research and find out, this guy made a mistake. He's admitted it, but it was only one thing. It's not like a series of incidents. You know, you've had draft picks before that had series of incidents. You're like, this guy's going to be a problem. You know, you add money to this kid and it's just going to get worse. But I would draft Micah Parsons, definitely.
Yeah. And again, he's 21, 22. He's still a kid. You know what I'm saying? So, kids are going to do kid things regardless of how you want to play it. So, if the knock on him is a hazing situation, and everyone hazes. I've been in college. I've been in Europe. Hazing is as much as they want to take it out of the game, it's a norm. Whether you do it because, in a rookie show, or you do it one night in the dorms, there's always a form of hazing, you know? So, and the NFL do it themselves. They have the rookie shows, you know, but it's not as extreme as it is in college. So if that's the only knock they have on the kid, draft him first round.
You hear that, Howie? Get Micah Parsons.
Micah Parsons wasn't available for you in your pick. I'll tell you where Micah Parsons went.
Yeah, seventh to the Lions.
Yep, with 33.7% of the vote.
Mm. 30, oh, nice.
And so some of the news in the schedule, or some of the news around the league, a 17th game has been announced. So every team will now be matched up to another division, I think like AFC North to the NFC South. But regardless, that way, all I know is the Eagles are playing the Jets, who we've never lost to.
Yeah, we got the easy division in the NFC East, so it's happy days around here.
Yeah, we're playing the Rams, so that means the Steelers will be playing the Seahawks, I believe. But one of the games that I'm most looking forward to, and it's quite a spicy one, is Packers Chiefs.
Yeah,
I think that's a great matchup. I'm really looking forward to that one.
Done on purpose, surely.
There's also Cowboys Patriots.
Yeah, that would be a good one. The two most hated teams. Who are you supporting, boys? That's the big question.
That's just a game I do not want to watch.
So that means the 49ers would be playing the Bengals. Is that right?
Yeah, that'd be right.
Yes.
You should just draft Jamar Chase to fuck around. speaking of receivers, Kenny Golladay, 4 years, $72 million to the Giants. That is the biggest wide receiver contract we're going to see this offseason, I think.
Yes, we were talking about this. I thought that we said they didn't have much money, but turns out they managed to pull something out of somewhere and then managed to get him in. Adam, I bet you're not too happy that he's gone to that division.
Yeah, the NFC East just went hard again. Like the Washington football team, Fitzpatrick might be able to carry them over for a year, but that defense is terrifying. Giants get Adoree Jackson and Kenny Golladay. You just got to hope Danny Jones doesn't become good. And the Cowboys suck.
Daniel Jones is out of excuses now. If he can't make it work with Kenny Golladay, he's got no.
Yeah, and obviously we mentioned, we touched on the trade there where the 49ers moved forward. The back end of that trade was the Dolphins traded the 12th to go back up to 6th with the Eagles, and that involved a pick swap in the later rounds and the Dolphins sending over their 2022 first. So Eagles moved back a little bit for some more draft capital. It's the sensible move, but I hate it because now I don't get a Jamar Chase jersey.
Dolphins are the winners of that. They've picked up. Well, I don't know. After they lost that first round pick, not as much, but first, it looked like they'd done unreal.
I think we've done all right. At the end of the day, we need draft picks more than we need a bona fide receiver. So I'm not too upset. It's just, I just wanted Jamar Chase.
And let's all calm down. Draft picks have to turn into players, and players have to be good. So there's no point saying now, oh, the Dolphins are going to be amazing. They had 3 first round picks last year. They're going to do a lot with them. So, let's see. Let's just
did
wait.
A fair amount with them, actually. but yeah, that's kind of all the news we've got today, unless anyone's thought of anything else.
Well, one thing I was thinking earlier was about the Lockett payout. Now that they've paid them out, obviously they've got Metcalf. His contract is due to renew soon, and he's going to be looking for an even bigger payday than that. Hypothetically, if the Seahawks couldn't cough up to keep him, where do you think would be a good landing spot for him, and who would you like to see him playing alongside?
DK Metcalf, put him next to Julio Jones and just see what happens.
Yeah, that'd be grim.
I'll trade Henry Ruggs for him.
What about you, Cadell? What do you think would be a good fit for him?
I'd say send it to the Cardinals.
Ooh.
They do have a spicy wide receiver core at the moment.
As much as I hate to see it as a Niners fan, him and the Cardinals would be devastating. Him Hopkins.
DeAndre Hopkins, good lord.
That would be scary. And Kyler Murray slinging that because, what, Cardinals or Green Bay? Cardinals and Green Bay, because he's a big target and these quarterbacks love slinging it.
Yeah, man.
I think once OBJ leaves, Cleveland's a shout.
You think he's leaving?
OBJ, I know it's rumours and there's rumours every year, but I think if he doesn't, this will probably be the last year.
I don't know. He loves Landry though.
Hopefully they go to the playoffs together and they can ball out for a full healthy season before he leaves though.
Yeah, I think you're right though. I don't see him sit because they did so well without him that they're just spending a lot of money on him, aren't they?
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to that game next season. Like after the last time Ravens played the Browns, and the way this Brown team's been going, and they're a team that I've been rooting for sort of on the quiet for a long time. It's nice to see them get better after, you know, the beating that was put on them year after year. I'm really excited for to see them play again next year.
AFC North's just every single game is exciting now. Anyway, I think that's everything from us. So as we mentioned on the socials, we do have our Tafts draft going. So please do check us out on there and you can join on. Tim, do you want to let them know where they can find that?
On Twitter.
On Twitter, TAFS_UK. That's it.
Quality's podcast is going very down.
Professionalism.
yeah, you can find that on our social medias. We've also got a website. You can find everything on that's thatamericanfootballshow.com. Make sure you check out our friends at Lockdown Lids as well. They are having a special thing today. So you won't get that, but they've updated the whole website. They send out a newsletter now. It's all really good stuff. So check them out at lockdownlids.co.uk and win yourself some sweet merch. Please also feel free to leave us some feedback on the pod, whether it's good or bad. We do want to get better for you guys. Cadell, again, thank you so much for coming on again. We do really appreciate talking to you about football, and hopefully we can chat to you again about your future career going forward later.
Appreciate it. Thank you guys again for having me. It's an honour to be here, man.
Oh, man, we love it. And finally, a shout out to Alistair Kirkwood, who has just left the NFL UK. He was a friend of the show and we are sad to see him go. So see you later, Mr. Kirkwood. Keep an ear out next week because we have Jonathan Rooney and Mick Tyler coming on to talk about the new UK Football League that's coming out. So we should be able to get some good questions going there. Thank you for listening and make sure you head over and check out our friends at EP Sports for all your NFL and equipment needs. And then we'll see you next week. Thank you and goodbye.